What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Screencast here on Kinda Funny. I'm your host, Nick Scarpino, alongside the big dog, Kevin Coelho.
Hey, man.
And, of course, the movie bros herself, Joey Noel.
Hello.
What's going on, guys? How you feeling?
I just got this iced coffee delivered to me, so I'm feeling great.
Who delivered you an iced coffee, Joey, and why didn't I get one?
Tim and Gia, because they were going to Starbucks already.
No, that makes sense. Of course, ladies and gentlemen, we want to give a shout out to our Patreon producers, James Davis and Andrew Feisner. Thank you guys so much for supporting our daily shows here on Kinda Funny. And if you guys are out there listening and going, wow, you guys are doing a bang up job so far, where do I stuff my money? Well, you can stuff your money over in patreon.com/kindafunny, where you can back us at the $1 tier. It just gets you our undying love. $5 gets you the ability to write into the show. And if you want to back us at the fan mail tier, it gets you our Patreon platinum tier exclusive item for this month, which is the shirtless Spider-Man and shirtless Miles Morales prints. They will come straight to your mailbox. So if your mom and dad open them up, you better be willing to have a good explanation as to why you're wasting your money on that stuff. But we love it very much, and we love your support. And we can't, get out there and take a look at it. Also, if you guys just want to buy our merch, you can go over to kindafunny.com/store, where we got all sorts of cool stuff dropping soon, Joey.
Slash more things dropping next week. But we also have, we partnered with the American Cancer Society to work with them on their Real Men Wear Pink campaign for the month of October. So we have this new pink kind of funny shirt that's like fun and exciting. 100% of the profits of that are going to the American Cancer Society. So
that's a great cause. There it is. Of course, ladies and gentlemen, this episode of Screencast is brought to you by Manscaped Keeps and Bespoke Post. But we'll get to those a little bit later. Kicking it off. Actually, let me start a timer here, guys, because sometimes we get to noodling and then we just, it's like 4 hours later and people are like, talk about Tom Holland. So here we go. There it is right there.
I got the shirt off. Took a long time.
There it is. Perfect.
There it is.
There we go. All right.
Dope beautiful, looking beautiful shirt.
Of course, like all the proceeds go toward the American Cancer Society. Thank you. So there you go. It's nice. I like that. I like the brush script. Who did the design for that again, Joe?
This is one Alex Van Aken.
Hey, there you go.
It's Alex Van Aken on Twitter. He's great.
Cool. Well, check it out, guys. Go over to kindafunny.com/store. Check that out and all the rest of our merchandise. Let's kick it off with some news today. I'm sure you guys saw this, but Tom Holland has graced us with the first shot of him as the young Nathan Drake in a small role that I don't know if you guys have heard of or not. Have you guys seen anything about this?
Nathan Drake.
I don't like this bit. You know what I mean? Like, we all know this game. We've all played it. You've played the start of this first one 5-6 times?
I've played the start of Uncharted 1 3 times. I've gotten through the plane level, and for some reason my saves always get, I just lose them for some reason.
I've never gone back. You do something.
You lose them.
Yeah. This is great, though. That this looks like so it's hard good. To do.
This story comes over.
The
I mean, this
is in the cloud, you know?
I know. I've gone back and looked for them multiple times because over the years I've wanted to play them, and they're just not there. This story comes from, well, it's everywhere, but I pulled it from The Verge. It's been over a decade since work began on a movie based on Naughty Dog's popular Uncharted games. In that time, the film has cycled through 7 directors, 5 release dates, and a series of scripts and actors, but a new picture from star Tom Holland, who will be playing a younger version of the series hero Nathan Drake in full costume as the character, gives the best evidence yet that the film is actually happening this time. The shot, of course, is admittedly not much to go by, just still of Holland in Drake's cargo pants, Henley combo, and matching pistol holsters. But looking closely, you can see the ring, which in the game's canon belongs to Nathan's maybe ancestor, Sir Francis Drake. I think this is pretty good proof the movie's happening. If you're asking me, I mean, that set looks like somebody built that. So I think on some level, Sony is like, we're going to make this. But I think the author of this article is right to be a little skeptical, because this thing has been stuck in development hell since like the second game came out. So I think, but it looks good. What do you guys think?
I think it looks, so I guess my problem is, I think all of this looks great. I still think of Nathan Drake as so much older than Tom Holland.
Yeah.
So
well,
that's
this is meant to be
the, when, my like kind
he's
of
younger,
thing.
Right?
Yeah,
no, this... but I just can't get that out of my brain that he's supposed to be older. I also did really love the picture of Nolan North on set.
Oh, I didn't see that. Yeah, that's cool.
Right. I actually have it right here. Well, there he goes.
Yeah.
Which is like, look how old Nolan is. Like, Nolan's way too old to play the part. You know what I mean?
He's still great looking, though. No, look at that hair he's got. That's amazing. Yeah. That's a great look. That's a cool picture.
I'm excited. It should be fun.
You like Indiana Jones, right?
Yeah, of course.
Does this remind you of the Raiders of the Lost Ark, the cross that he has in the beginning of it?
Yes, you mean not Raiders, you mean
is it not Last Crusade. Yep.
It does. It's that kind of cool double cross thing that he's like, it belongs in a museum, and the guy's like, you lost today, kid, but don't take it too hard. And then he puts the hat on him, and then it's that cool match on action when he comes up with the hat. He's old Harrison Ford.
Such a cool scene.
And then I like that you asked Nick if he remembers this, and then he just lays out the entire scene. Like,
I mean, he's got to prove that he does remember, or else we'll make fun of him for not remembering it.
The Indiana Jones movies are one of the best trilogy of movies, not counting number four, that's ever been made. And again, if you bring up number one, bad too? What's that?
Isn't there a fifth one that's bad too?
No, that hasn't.
Where's that coming out soon?
They have not made a fifth one yet. Yeah, four was the one where they fought giant ants and monkeys and
that has Shia LaBeouf.
Russians, and it had the buff in it. Yeah, who by the way was not bad in the movie. He was not the worst part of that movie. Let's just put it that way. That sounded like a low key slide against the buff. You guys know I'm a huge buff supporter.
No, that sounded like a low key insult.
That sounded like a little burn, right? That's not an insult. Yeah. I think he did a great job.
Trying to throw Harrison on the bus.
No, wow. I'm just mostly throwing Steven Spielberg and George Lucas under the bus for trying to.
They need to stop.
Yeah, just stop making those movies.
And they're not going to.
For the love of God. No, they're not going to. Because somebody brought in a giant cow. And then when they started milking the udders, cash came out and they were like, let's just keep this show rolling because this sounds great. Shout out to Kate Blanchett, though, for doing her best Russian accent. Next
story.
She really did. She was like, I don't know what is happening today, but she had cool hair. And you know what? It's Kate Blanchett, so you can do whatever you want.
She
played Hella for crying out loud. Next news story, ladies and gents. Jared Leto reprising his role as the Joker in the Snyder Cut.
Whoa. Man, this movie keeps getting more and more interesting. You know what I mean? So fucking wait.
It's worth noting that obviously they're in the middle of doing some reshoots funded by Warner Brothers. This is such an interesting thing to me because as far as I know, and I did a little research on this, he was not originally supposed to be in the Snyder Cut. So presumably he's going to just have a cameo in here. In the original theatrical cut, he was not, I don't think he was supposed to be in it. So the fact that they're bringing him back in now, we're in that murky territory to me where the Snyder cut was supposed to be this thing that like was cemented and no one let come out. And they were supposed to give him just a little bit of money to finish it and then prove that his cut was better than
a little bit of money.
But now they're giving him $30 million. He's doing a ton of reshoots and he's introducing new characters. This is not the vision that was going to originally hit theaters. This is a completely and totally different. And that's what I'm saying is needs an asterisk now. This is an asterisk movie. This is not his original vision.
Wasn't he in the trailers? Like, isn't there in the trailers? Didn't we see, or was that a different movie with the Lambo?
That's in Suicide Squad. He is in Suicide Squad. Yes.
Yeah.
And he was disappointed with how they used him in that, and he was disappointed with not being utilized in the Joker movie, obviously with Joaquin Phoenix, although that went in sort of a different creative direction. But in this, they're bringing him back. I have to assume it's just a fun cameo of some sort. I have to assume he's not like
going to do anything super crazy. Here's the thing: he's not going to go for just a fun cameo, right? That was his whole problem about Suicide Squad. He said that like they had shot basically another movie that they didn't use. Amount of footage, right? So I kind of feel like this would be going against his original statements of like they didn't use any of the footage. Like, oh well, now I'm going to come back and be a small part of this next movie.
Lord only knows. I mean, it's turned into a 4-part saga, so maybe he'll just have a whole 30 minutes dedicated to him with knives. Believe it. And believe it, because if this comes out and it's not good, then it's going to destroy Greg Miller and I'll reap all the benefits.
Is there any chance that this is good?
I think it'll be interesting. Yeah, I do. I think there's a chance that it'll be entertaining. I really do. I don't think. I mean,
is different than good.
Yeah, but I mean, I look to his other film to give it the benefit of the doubt, because every time we start ripping on old Zack Snyder, people are like, "You guys are just haters. You're drinking the haterade." Sure, I've had my fair share of gallons of haterade over the years, and yes, it's true. I think hating things is funny, but I do think that he can make something interesting, and I do think that he doesn't have to be constrained by the formats of a theatrically released film anymore. So I think we're going to get something that's completely bananas. But remember, also, this is the person that gave us Man of Steel and Watchmen, which were two very decent movies. So I don't know. But it can't be any worse than the Whedon version. It can just be different. But the only thing that might make it a little less palatable, Joey, to your earlier point, is that different for 4 hours starts to take on its own meaning, where you just can't after a certain point, like, what reality am I living in right now? But hey, at least it'll have Jared Leto, and he's not bad on the old eye sockets.
I mean, yeah, but Joker Jared Leto.
Hey man, tattoos are cool, man. Some people like them.
Give me 30 seconds to Mars, Jared Leto. You know,
I for one am super excited about this. Like, good, let them throw in as much as they want. Like, I want them to recast Superman at some point. You know, not, I don't actually want that, because I liked what's his face, but Henry, like, Cavill. I'd like for some giant shit like that where they're like, oh yeah, Green Lantern's gonna be in this one. It's like, good, you know what I mean? Do as much as you can. Utilize those 4 hours to the fullest of your abilities.
Why not? Right. This is, I mean, if you told me this was going to be like normal times, we had actual good movies come out in theaters, I'd be like, we do not need this. Let's move forward. Let's look forward to Black Widow. Let's look forward to the next Spider-Man. Let's look forward to all these movies that are coming out, but we have nothing. So for the love of God, let's speed this up, so I have something to talk about on that week's screencast. And we have something to watch Greg Miller wheeze laugh at himself as he's dressed as Superman and or Batman, or maybe a two-faced Superman Batman. We'll see if he's creative or not.
A two-faced.
That'll be dope. Next thing.
No way, he's that talented.
That would be amazing, though. I mean, it'd be hard to get the cowl to stay on, but it'd be cool if you could do it.
We can make it happen.
Joey, make it happen. Next news story comes from IGN.com. This is some fun little news. Battlestar Galactica movie that's been in development for a while has finally found sort of a helmer in the form of X-Men's Simon Kinberg. He signed on to write and produce Universal's long gestating Battlestar Galactica movie. According to The Hollywood Reporter, Kinberg, who has been shepherding X-Men stories to the screen since 2006, The Last Stand, is on board to write a new script for the up-and-coming feature adaptation of Battlestar Galactica sci-fi franchise. Kinberg is also set to produce the movie with Dylan Clark, who has already been attached to the project for some time. Quote, Battlestar Galactica is one of the holy grails in science fiction, and I couldn't be more excited about bringing something new to the franchise while honoring what's made it so iconic and enduring, Kinberg said in a statement. I'm so grateful that Dylan Clark and my partner at Universal have trusted me with this incredible universe. Man, Simon Kinberg is on a lot of, like, he's attached to a lot of projects that are like just in flux and weirdly. I was looking up, I was doing some research for our We Have Cool Friends episode, the last episode that we did, and I found out that Simon, he's, I guess, attached to the Logan's Run or Highlander remake that just haven't happened yet. And I'm like, man, this guy gets himself attached to everything. That's great. Smart. How you guys feel about where are you guys at with Battlestar Galactica?
I recently started, well, not recently, I guess now a little while ago, I was watching the remake series. You know, the sci-fi series?
The Ronald Moore series? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Or the, yeah, yeah.
Wait, I don't know. I said yeah, it was Ronald Moore. Okay. But it's real good. I got like maybe halfway through the show and then life got in the way. But I was really enjoying it. Now, that being said, I feel like this is one of those things, like the Nathan Drake or Uncharted movie, like where it's like, it's fine in its own medium. Like, why would this be a movie? Is this like a standalone movie, or
again, bring in the cow, milk it, get the cash out of it, everyone.
Joey, milk the cow. Joey, milk the cow.
Yeah, Joey, milk the cow.
I'm not milking.
Joey, milk the cow.
It's got three layers of butters, but you're good.
I think. I mean, honestly, that's a question I have too. If you haven't seen Battlestar, the original series, or actually not the original series, excuse me, the re-envisioned series by Ronald Moore was phenomenal. I tried to get D to watch it a while back. It is a little slower by today's standards, but if you could get into it, it evolves in a really unique and really, really cool way. Obviously, Ronald Moore was one of the guys that brought us, I believe, Star Trek The Next Generation. And so If you're into that sort of like really cerebral kind of sci-fi, Battlestar's for you. Also, it's Edward James Olmos, who is, you know, he's one of our Photoshops from KFAF. So if you guys like that episode, definitely go check out Battlestar Galactica. It's right, nothing
those
like
are
that.
Somehow connected.
It's definitely not similar at all to us just making fun of Edward in a giving paying honor, I should say, to Edward James Olmos in a great light. Cool. Let's move on. Kevin, this is a new story you put on here. I didn't see this, but I did. But I saw it on Slack, so now I'm talking about it. There's a trend right now with a lot of movies that were supposed to come out in theaters being bought by major studios, predominantly Amazon Prime and Netflix, are just trying to buy every single franchise they possibly can at this point because, again, cash, this is an opportunity for them to really cement themselves as huge, huge, huge forces in the entertainment industry. Part of the new Big Six, apparently, is what they're calling them, alongside Disney and a few others. Paramount Pictures is reportedly selling the movie Coming to America 2 to Amazon Studios in a deal worth roughly $125 million. This comes from Slash Film. Learn the details of Coming to America 2 below. Okay, excuse me. Fandango's Eric Davis says the new movie will arrive on Amazon Prime Video streaming platforms on December 18th, 2020. That's a few days earlier than Paramount's plan to release it on Christmas Day. There's a chance its new owner at Amazon decided to put the sequel in theaters for a limited run before the December 18th rolls around. That's probably not likely, though, depending on we're so close to it. I can't imagine they're gonna put a ton of marketing dollars behind an Eddie Murphy vehicle like that. I'm sure if they got it, we're just gonna get Coming to America 2 on Christmas. Everyone, happy Christmas.
I for one am extremely excited.
I am as well. I'm disappointed in the regards of I want to see Eddie Murphy return to form. And Eddie Murphy, for those of you guys who don't really recall his original run in the 80s and early 90s, was just a powerhouse in comedy.
Magical.
And it was amazing. He made great films. And then he kind of decided to go in a different direction with his career as far as making films that were a little bit more family friendly.
Kid movies, yeah.
Yeah,
he
and he
money.
Made
it. It was very successful.
The Haunted Mansion.
Cow,
right?
Just, that was you know
very,
what I mean?
The Haunted Mansion cash. Was very late. Yeah, there's a lot of cows getting milked, you know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. He did, obviously, Shrek was huge for him. He did the Norbits? No, Nutty Professors?
Norbit was a movie, though.
Dr. Doolittle?
He did Dr. Doolittle. He did all those movies, and they did very well for him. But recently, he's been hinting at the idea of returning to stand-up, and I think a slightly more risque and edgy version of himself from earlier, and obviously Coming to America. Two, which was a John Landis movie back in the day, was one of was the pinnacle, I think, of his sort of like lighthearted, silly comedy that still had a little bit of an edge to it and still wasn't afraid to kind of go there, quote unquote. And obviously he did that with his buddy Arsenio Hall. So having this movie come out, I don't know, let's say 3 decades later, the streaming platforms is a little disappointing to me because I'd like to see him get a big push again. But that's also because I'm becoming more and more aware of my own mortality as the days go on.
I feel like the whole like 20 plus year sequel is a really big thing right now, and I'm all about it.
It's,
you know,
a it's a terrible. It's a yeah.
It's terrible. You don't like it?
I think it's a terrible idea.
Have you seen Dr. Sleep? Because that was pretty good.
Dr. Sleep was good.
Yeah, but Dr. Sleep was a sequel not utilizing any of the original characters.
You don't know what you're talking about. So you know what I mean?
That's totally fine.
You don't know what you're talking about.
And it was a good movie, but it wasn't like, it's not like they decided to make It Chapter One and then 30 years later recast it. Or just bring back the original. Actually, that would work in this regard with it, if they decided to do that as a poor example.
So you know, it's closer to Bill and Ted and Top Gun Maverick.
This is very close to Bill and Ted. So Bill and Ted, Top Gun Maverick will be
no,
good.
But Dr. Sleep has a scene where they bring back the characters from the first movie. They're recasted.
Not the same actors, though.
No, yeah, they're recasted. And I, like,
right.
But they're,
this
like,
is a different example.
Inspired.
Eddie Murphy is literally going to be Eddie Murphy in this movie, but yeah. He'll be probably in his 60s at this point, and he won't be nearly as spry as he was in his late 20s or early 30s when he made Coming to America. It's just to me, and I don't have a terminology for it, but it's hard to put it in context of when these characters come back. I guess a good example would be watch Beverly Hills Cop 1 and then watch Beverly Hills Cop 3. So Beverly Hills Cop 1 and 2 are fun Eddie Murphy vehicles where Eddie Murphy just shines on screen as the sort of sarcastic, fun, good-natured cop that is a fish out of water story. With 3, you get Eddie Murphy, the massive star who no longer is in touch with that character. They just don't nail the characters. This is one of my griefs with writing and plot aside when Mark Hamill came back for Luke Skywalker. He just didn't feel like Luke Skywalker anymore because he'd done so many projects, like being the Joker, like being all these other characters, that it's difficult for him, I think, to step back into that character and evolve it, as opposed to just kind of being Mark Hamill as Mark Hamill in the role.
Didn't he
and so
also,
a lot of these characters, what's up?
I was going to say, didn't he also complain that the direction very much took him in a place that was like, I don't feel like this is the same character.
Well, I think that was the overall direction of like where the story was going. I'm just saying when you see him for the first time, it's difficult for these actors to be where they were. Even with Ghostbusters 2, you kind of look and the Ghostbusters themselves are caricatures of who they used to be. And that movie was only done. Those movies were only a few years apart. So I get a little bit worried when I see these because I feel like for a lot of people, Coming to America 2 might be the first time you see Coming to America. And then you go, oh, I'm not going to watch the first one. Well, the first one is a classic.
Don't do that though, right? That like
I know.
You gotta watch.
But
are
I
people
mean,
really going to watch the second one and not the first one?
Tim watched, I think he did Cobra Kai first, right? And then
no,
he went back and watched Karate Kid. And then
he watched,
oh, he did
he
it all
watched,
again.
Yeah.
Which well, I mean, my worry would be that people would click on it and be like, I don't understand this. I don't get it. And then they're not wanting to watch the first one. Or if they watch the first one, this one's going to pale in comparison because it's going to be made sort of on a fraction of a budget with actors that are just different now.
I think that's probably a better chance
of
happening of that. Especially, yeah. I think if you watch them not one right after the other, it's not going to be as apparent. But if you watch them back to back, then it's like, oh, this is, did not hold up, which is, I think, kind of what happened with Bill and Ted when we watched. Well, I watched them all.
I feel like the Bill and Ted one was not very
good. No, but then like you see them all and then it's like it didn't feel very cohesive.
Well, that's a perfect example of what I'm talking about, right? Bill and Ted 1, you watch Bill and Ted 2, and those movies feel like they go together, right? There's a natural evolution there. One's sort of like an 80s movie, one's sort of like an early 90s movie, and tonally they're a little bit different because that was what the director wanted to take them in a slightly darker tone for the second one. But Keanu Reeves and Alex Winter are the same characters in both movies with a slight evolution. You flash forward 40 years, and this is, again, no disrespect to the tour de force that is Keanu Reeves, but I just he just doesn't have the same energy that he had when he was 21 years old. It's not possible.
Yeah.
And so those characters they just don't exist in the same light. And it's kind of unfortunate. But I think with Bill and Ted's, they kind of managed to find the heart of the story regardless. And if you're a Bill and Ted fan, hey, you know, you probably enjoyed the movie. I certainly did. Do we need a fourth one? No.
We're not going to get a fourth one. They're done, right?
God, I hope so. I hope. I want
Keanu John to go back.
I feel like part of the problem with that, with having the sequel so many years later, is that a lot of times what they do in like with like Bill and Ted, this is what they did, where they like have to have them fail, and like then it's like shoots them. So now we're seeing them 20 or 30 years later, but like they're kind of losers, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just like that is goes against what the first two movies set up, you know?
Yeah.
And
well, that's it's
like
interesting
that's,
because
if
you go back and watch the first couple movies, they're just dudes, man.
I mean,
good dudes.
But they're
like
idiots.
Each other.
They're so dumb. They don't know how to play instruments in the first one.
And they're kind of losers, but
they don't know how to play instruments in the second one either.
But no one outside of their world, like his dad is kind of an asshole to them because he wants him to get his son to get it. But everyone else just is like, oh, it's Bill and Ted. They don't really like you know what I mean? They're just good-natured dudes.
And then there's
the
stepmom joke, which is just hilarious.
That's the best joke. And I love that they continued through the third one. Yeah. Why not? God bless them. Continuing along the lines of this story, there's a rumor out there, guys, and I don't know how I feel about this. There's a rumor out there based on some stuff that MGM has done lately. MGM had a big conference and said, hey, we'd be open to having people buy out our catalog. And so evidently Apple TV, being the front runner and potentially Netflix, has said, hey, we'd love to buy your catalog. Of course, MGM has a catalog of Rocky, RoboCop, and the James Bond series. So there's stipulation. There's rumors out there that people are saying, what if they bought that? And of course, the buying the James Bond series would include No Time to Die, which has yet to be released, and then followed along the lines of Coming to America. And they just said, screw it, we'll do like maybe a limited release or just put it out in December for Christmas. It would be the first time a Bond movie wasn't theatrically released. I can't even think along these terms right now.
I would be so excited. Like, just do it. I'm so tired of not going to the movies. but I also don't want to go to the movies because it's just like, I was talking to my sister about it because apparently movie theaters are opening up here again. And she was like, oh, I was going to go with mom. And I was like, I don't know. Just being in that like sort of space with a bunch of people that could be coughing and stuff. That didn't sound like a great idea. And she's like, yeah. Plus, you know, I'm probably not going to be wearing my mask so much because I'm eating popcorn. It's like, what?
Yeah, you got to eat the popcorn. You can't expect me to walk into a movie theater and not eat Kevin's popcorn. I like to eat other people's popcorn. You guys know this about me. I don't get my own popcorn. I like to reach over and just grab a handful of someone else's popcorn. That's what I like to do.
I like.
And honestly, it's really sad that you've been robbed of this for 6 months. Mm.
There's two things that I've been robbed of for 6 months. One, just eating other people's popcorns, and two, completely fucking with Andy the entire time, where I just give him more and more snacks, and he at first is like, "I like it," but then eventually he's like, "Please stop."
Do you not miss giving Joey?
Why do I have seven things of mini Snickers?
Do you not miss giving Joey shit about what movie theater she picked? Yeah,
I don't.
I hope we never go back to movie theaters for solely that reason. No.
Joey, don't say that. So much more of the time we spent.
You promise not to make fun of what movie theater I pick because I have absolutely no idea what movie is going to be in what theater configuration.
Right, well,
I will gladly take that back.
Joey, I feel like, with the amount of time we've been going to theaters, we now know what movie theater is what. If like we're like, oh hey, the you know,
I will like to say that it was a theater that we don't go to very often. It was the Century XD downtown. If it was
gross theater,
AMC, then I would have known. We'd how know am I supposed to know it. This other weird movie theater that we
it
never
was
go
also
to?
Before Movie Pass or / A-list. You know?
Just as a general rule, ladies and gentlemen, if you're booking tickets through the app on your phone and you see there's only four seats and it looks like it's someone's living room, it probably is. We're going to take a quick break to tell you guys about our sponsors, the first of which is Manscaped. 2020 is nuts. But that doesn't mean you should disregard your beautiful nuts. Manscaped is on a mission to take care of your twins with their below-the-waist grooming and hygiene products. And they just released their product in the UK, Canada, and Australia. Listen, we're all hairy mongrels here. I certainly am. I'm an Italian man. I got a Manscaped. And it's I respect any product that makes it easier. Because look at this beard. Look at it. Now imagine that on my back. That's what I deal with on a daily basis, and it just goes all the way down to my tippy toes. So Manscaped just released the Crop Care Kit, which is a formulation bundle to give you A-plus balls and is the ultimate male hygiene hack. The Crop Care Kit includes the Crop Preserver ball deodorant. The name speaks for itself. The Crop Reviver ball toner, a spray-on toner that will give your balls a little slice of heaven with their aloe vera and hazel extracts. The Crop Cleanser, which is a body wash, a full body wash that you can also use on your hair. The Crop Mop ball wipes. You never know when an opportunity strikes you, so you always should be prepared. We also got the Foot Duster foot deodorant, which is a free gift designed to keep the stankiest feet smelling fresh, and the Lawnmower 3.0 trimmer, which offers a replaceable ceramic blade with advanced skin-safe technology, which helps reduce grooming accidents. And I'll tell you what, if you've nicked yourself down there before, you'll never forget that pain. It'll just be locked right here in your brain right there. It's the best. Let's see. The waterproof technology also allows you to groom in the shower for up to 90 minutes. It's the best trimmer your butt, balls, and body have ever seen. These formulations are all vegan, cruelty-free, dye-free, sulfate-free, and paraben-free. So you know your manhood is in good hands. You're probably playing with your balls right now. Jesus, they went all out on this one, and I love it. So you might as well invest in the Crop Care Kit to make it elite. Get 20% off plus free shipping at manscaped.com with the code MORNING. Again, that's 20% off plus free shipping at manscaped.com with the code MORNING. If you care for those beautiful balls of yours, all you have to do is go to their site, hit a few buttons on your phone, and you will change your life forever. Again, 20% off free shipping at manscaped.com with the code MORNING. Add some swag to your shaggy bag. All right. Next up, ladies and gentlemen, we got Keep. Speaking about doing something really good for yourself. As guys, so much of our identity is wrapped up in our hair, from how it feels after getting a fresh cut to the way it's perfectly styled before going out. That's why when you get in your 20s and 30s and start noticing the first signs of hair loss, it definitely feels like panic time because, let's face it, no guy is ever ready to go bald. Thankfully, now there's Keeps, the simple and easy way to keep your hair. I experienced just this when I was in my mid-20s, and it is a terrifying and really, really anxiety-inducing feeling, and I'm glad that Keeps is around to help you through it. because I wish I had that when I was in my 20s back in the day. I did not. And it made finding a solution to this issue a lot harder. Did you know 2 out of 3 guys will experience some form of male pattern baldness by the time they're 35? The best way to prevent hair loss is to do something about it while you still have hair left. You get treated from home. You used to have to go to the doctor's office for your hair loss prescription. Now, thanks to Keeps, you can visit a doctor online and get hair loss medication delivered right to your home. They make it easy and deliver your medication every 3 months, so you can say goodbye to pharmacy checkout lines and awkward doctor visits. Keeps offers generic versions of the only 2 FDA approved hair loss products out there. You may have tried them before, but probably never for this price. Listen up, everyone. Prevention is key. Keeps treatments typically take between 4 to 6 months to see results, so it's important to act fast. The sooner you start using Keeps, the more hair you'll save. Find out why Keeps has more 5-star reviews than any of its competitors, and more than 100,000 men trust Keeps for their hair loss prevention medication. Keeps treatments start at just $10 per month. Plus, for a limited time, you can get your first month for free. Let's see here. Here we go. If you're ready to take action and prevent hair loss, go to keeps.com/morning to receive your first month of treatment for free. That's KEEPS.com/morning. Keeps.com/morning to receive your first month of treatment for free. Okay. Lastly, ladies and gentlemen, we got Bespoke Post. This fall, as you get back into the swing of things, Bespoke Post has brand new seasonal boxes, box of awesome collections for guys, guaranteed to upgrade your life. Joey, Kevin, you two have been using, you guys have gotten some stuff on Bespoke Post. What have you guys been getting?
I got the Hue like light package, which came with 2 Hue lights, and it was dope because I need as many Hue lights as possible. I love it.
Of course.
I also got that, and I got one for my dad, and he's very excited. They're moving into a new house. They're setting it. They're automating everything. And then I got this cool little overnight bag.
Oh, that's super fun.
Joey,
I
use my overnight bag for bringing my tools up from the garage, and I really like it.
It's really cute.
Whether it's gear to upgrade your autumn craft beers or cozy threads for when the temperature dips, Bespoke Post only sends guys the best stuff every month. No matter what you're into, Box of Awesome has you covered, from style and grooming goods to barware, cooking tools, and outdoor gear. Box of Awesome has collections for every part of your life. Right now, I'm excited for this over easy collection they have, which is basically just an excuse to eat some pancakes, and it looks really, really, really good. To get started, take a quiz at boxofawesome.com. Your answers will help them pick the right box of awesome for you. They release new boxes every month across a ton of different categories. It's free to sign up, and you can skip a month or cancel anytime. Each box costs only $45, but has over $70 worth of gear inside. Get 20% off your first monthly box when you sign up at boxofawesome.com and enter the code morning at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com with the code morning for 20% off your first box. All right. Back to the show. Hey, Joey, what you been watching?
So it was funny that you brought up Battlestar Galactica, because this week I've been watching The Vow on HBO Max.
Okay.
And they talk about, do you know about The Vow?
No.
It's the documentary that's about the Nexium, like, multi-level marketing cult, Allison Mack thing.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
That was the actress from Smallville. Everyone was like, oh, Allison. I remember when that news broke, I was like, oh no, she got caught up in a sex cult. And then it was like, no, she's like running that game. She was
like, it's like real bad. It's scary. I'm still only like halfway through. It's like really long. It does not need to be
have
like 8 or 10 episodes or
have heard.
But it has like a bunch, obviously there were a bunch of Hollywood people that were involved in that. And I didn't know. Grace Park is one of them. She was on Battlestar Galactica, and then another girl who I don't remember off the top of my head. But I was like, wow, I knew about Allison Mack and Kristen Kreuk, but I didn't know that it kind of expanded out before then. It's a really fucked up story, and it's pretty crazy. I think they just announced that they're doing another season of The Vow.
Yeah.
So I don't really know how that is going to work, because I haven't finished it yet. but it's super, super interesting if you're at all interested in how, like, just what modern day cults look like. And I think it's weird that it's structured like some hybrid of like all those people from high school that are selling like essential oils and stuff.
Yeah.
But then also like you can kind of see the threads of like where they've pulled structure stuff from, like Scientology and stuff too. So it's this weird hybrid kind of
thing. Yeah, I mean, I remember when that news first broke, I remember reading about it. It was just like classic cult indoctrination, where it started off as like one thing and then slowly low key they're like, oh, you got to meet our grand poobah organizer, and he was like, I'm gonna brand you now, you're my sex slave, and people are like, what?
Yeah, that's how it goes.
It just sounds crazy that people are, it's a cautionary tale. It's that stuff can draw you in. You got to be really careful what you follow, and then when people ask you for money, like, you know, you got to just be very aware. You're like, is this a sex cult? And to just answer that question, Kind of Funny is not. Go over to patreon.com.
We are not a sex cult.
We are not a sex cult. That is definitely something we're not. We will be cash cows though, for you, Kevin.
I don't like how much you're saying that, just so you know. It makes me uncomfortable.
Well, you think that
it makes me feel like you
too much.
Yeah, exactly. Like, why did KFAF get canceled, really? You know,
Kevin,
what I mean?
You would know if we were a sex cult because I would be hitting you up every week for giant gallons of lube. I'd be like, Kevin, get on the Amazon again and have the lube shipped and make sure the bottle doesn't leak this time because I slipped all the way down my stairs. Yeah. Kevin, what have you been
watching? Also, like, I've also watched like the first half of this show. It's very interesting. And it does, I feel like, a good job showing you how this dude gets into people's minds and like what what his plan is. But then it also is just way too long, where it's like there is so much filler in this. And like the way this is set up is just, I don't know, you really get the feeling that like they're really trying to stretch it out. And like halfway through, I was like, Joey didn't have to. Yeah, it happens every time.
Every single time.
This show didn't have to go for as long as it did. Oh, now it's just me.
I don't, and this is the thing, I don't like that, right? I felt the same way with what was the one about the Tigers? Shit.
Tiger King?
Yeah,
Tiger King. I was like, Tiger King does not need to be 8 episodes long. I think we could have summed this up in a 2-parter. I felt the same way. There was a Gary Shandling documentary that Judd Apatow did for HBO, and I was like, why is this so long? I love Gary Shandling. This is no disrespect to him, but like Robin Williams' documentary was 2 hours long. That's acceptable. That is a good amount of time to show a man's life and the career and what they struggled with and what they succeeded with. You don't need to make it any longer than that. For the sex cult, I mean, I could tell you how this whole thing went without even seeing it. So just show me, give me the top level bullet points of it. And then let me be like, thank God I'm not in a sex cult. And then just reaffirm one more time, Kind of Funny, not a sex cult.
I think Don't Fuck With Cats did it really well, where it's 3 episodes that are like between an hour and hour and a half, I think. Where it's like, cool. 3 episodes is great, even if they're a little bit longer than an hour.
We have some breaking news here from the chat. Let's see.
You verify
this it? Comes from it? Collider. Yeah, I'm over on Collider right now. Exclusive. Zack Snyder's Justice League reshoots adds Joe Manganiello's Deathstroke. Joe Manganiello will revise his role as Deathstroke for Zack Snyder's Justice League. Collider has exclusively learned earlier this week. Hollywood Reporter reported that reshoots are currently underway with Ben Affleck, Ray Fisher, and Amber Heard back as Batman, Cyborg, and Mira, and Jared Leto slated to return as the Joker. I guess that is okay.
Different movie happening, but like, all right,
it's definitely gonna be fucking bananas. And if you are diehard Zack Snyder, #SnyderCut like supporter, strap in for the ride, guys. You're gonna have to get your pencils out because this is gonna be 4 hours of gonzo filmmaking.
I hope so.
But hey, I mean, how could it not be?
I don't know.
We'll see what happens. It's going to be hilarious too, because it's going to be like, I think it was Superman 2. I think it was Superman, the Dick Donner Superman 2, where they did a bunch of reshoots on that because Richard Donner got kicked off a project and the director needed to direct at least 50% of the movie to actually get credit for it. And so he made them just do these needless reshoots. But like Christopher Reeves is so much smaller in them than he was prior. So it'll be interesting to see if there's a physical difference in the look of the actors from scene to scene. I hope there
is. Or that it's super dramatic. You know what I mean? Like, I can go either way. Either be as close to like screen ready as they need to be. Hopefully they have enough time to bulk up. Or be just tiny, look like a normal person, and just cut yeah, between just like meat. Super buff to like
just you know, small. Normal. Yeah, they'll just pad out the costumes more. Yeah. All right, going back to what we watched, I watched a couple things. I'll quickly go through them, and then we can talk about Good Time, which we were supposed to talk about 4 weeks ago, but we had some interrupts because of the boys. We wanted to talk about that. So one of the things I watched. One of the things I watched recently, actually, I'm on this like weird kind of fun Halloween horror kick, thanks largely to our Conjuring series, is I watched 30 Days of Night on Amazon Prime. And if you haven't seen this, this is a fun vampire story based on a graphic novel that stars Josh Hartnett and some other notable actors whose names I don't know, but you've seen them and you were like, I know that dude.
Shout out to Josh Hartnett.
Have you guys seen 30 Days of Night at all?
I have not in a very long time.
Kevin, I think you'd like it. Here's the premise of it. It all takes place in a place called Barrow, Alaska, where once a year there are 30 days of night. So it's one of those areas where they just get 30 days. It's similar to that the Al Pacino movie we watched where it was always daytime. This is the opposite of that. Yeah. Actually, I think in reality, Barrow gets like 67 days of night, which is crazy to think about. But the idea is they get 30 days of night, and this one year, a group of vampires is basically grooming the town for the takeover. And then on that first day, they just marauder into it and kill everyone. And then Josh Hartnett and a small group of people have to survive for 30 days. It's pretty cool.
That sounds very, very upsetting. You know what I mean?
It's very,
like just the premise of it.
Yeah. I'm gonna find out where this is. Where did you watch it?
It's on Amazon Prime. Yeah, if you have Prime, it's a Prime movie right now. So you guys can watch that for free. I remember liking it when I first watched it, and I was like, oh, maybe this will hold up, and it did. It's fun. It's very much a graphic novel movie though, so it's not trying to be grounded in any sort of reality. At moments, they're like, okay, we just have to hunker down for a second, and then the next day it goes day seven. I'm like, 7 days? They lasted 7 days? Okay. But now, but it's cool to see.
Do you have any interest in the sequel? 30 Days of Night, Dark Days is what the sequel's called.
This is very much in the same vein as my other favorite vampire Halloween movie, The Lost Boys, which I plan to watch this month. The Joel Schumacher classic. There's like two more of those. I'm like, I don't know. There's only one classic Lost Boys. There's only one classic 30 Days of Night, and there's only one classic Joe Dirt. I don't want sequels for any of these amazing movies.
Now, did you watch the original Joe Dirt sequel?
I did.
Was it as bad as we think it was?
I laughed a lot. Really? It was terrible.
Should I watch it?
No.
Do they take a story in a cool way? Or do
it's
they
shot. I feel like it's shot on like a Canon C100 Mark I.
I love that camera.
It's a good camera. Let's go through one more round of what we've been watching, guys. And perfect. Then we'll talk about Good Times. Joey, what else have you been watching?
I am happy to announce that I have done something that I've been talking about for a long time. I finally watched Atlanta.
Oh, how is it?
It's really good.
Yeah.
Holy cow. So
did Donald Glover leave Community for that, or did he just leave Community to do it? Chat, let me know why.
Didn't he leave Community to go rap?
Like I think he was always doing that because they make Childish Gambino jokes in Community.
Yeah, but I think like Childish Gambino was starting to get big there, but I don't remember 100%.
I don't know.
Anyways, it's really good. I think FX is kind of, for me now that I'm watching more and more stuff, turning into like the A24 of TV kind of stuff. Because between this, between Dave, You're the Worst, like the last three things I've watched from FX are just knock it out of the park. It's really good. There are a few episodes towards like the back half of season two where they do individual like character episodes. On each of the main characters, and they span a wide range of things that they do, and they're all fucking incredible. So I'm very happy. Tim and Gia also watched them all. Like, we knocked it because there's only 21 episodes total, and most of them are 30 minutes.
Wait, there's four like seasons, though, right?
No, there's only two.
Oh,
Atlanta.
Third season is coming out supposedly in the first half of 2021.
Got it. It's still ongoing, it's not over yet.
Yeah. So I highly recommend it. I thought it was incredible. Had no idea. I tweeted out the first night we were watching. No idea that that's where people like had found Lakeith Stanfield and Zazie Beetz. And I was like, why didn't anybody tell me they were in there? But I just had no idea that that's kind of where everybody found them.
That's a
good discovery. It's a great cast.
The Life Spectre in the chat says Fargo and Archer as well. Don't forget about those two franchises.
They're on my list. Like, well, so good. Sorry, Archer's Archer. Not on my list. Fargo is on my list.
Shut, Joey. Joey, do your life the right way. Watch Archer. I've talked
about this. I don't like adult animated things. That's just not my vibe.
But this is like super adult.
I know, and the more adult it gets, arguably the less I like it.
But it's like it's Aisha Tyler. You gotta have support. I do
love Aisha Tyler,
and it's such a great cast, and it's like half the cast of Arrested Development. It's so good.
It's very good, Joey. Can I go?
Yeah,
you skipped me last round.
But, did I?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Oh,
because you just kind of tacked on to the second half of mine. I think that's
yeah.
Yeah.
So the first big thing that I've been watching is Lovecraft Country. I think last time we did this show, ooh, I was talking about how I watched the first two episodes and the third episode kind of was doing a different storyline. I was kind of like, oh, you're losing me. Mm-hmm. Well,
which one's the third one?
The third one is the haunted house that they all move into.
Oh, I like
Joey, you watched Lovecraft Country, right?
I've watched 5 episodes, so I still have to finish the last 3 or 4.
Yeah, so I'm on the last 2 episodes, I think, right now. Maybe the last episode. But I really wish I had kept watching that day, because literally in the last, like, 5 minutes of that episode, it, like, all hooks me back in and, like, kind of shows you there's a little bit more to it all. And then the subsequent episodes, like, really hammer that in and, like, do a really good job of making a cool story utilizing everything that's going on. So I have 2 more episodes, but I'm enjoying, like, I'm loving the
it's really good.
7th or 8th episode.
Interesting. I think
it's the 7th one is really just out of nowhere. It just suddenly switches tone and is like based in Korea and like it's all subtitles. And the effects they do on that show are really cool. Really cool. Some of the stuff they like, we see in Ninetales. With demon thing that like these tails come out and like destroy people and it's graphic.
Fun stuff. Kevin, did you have a second one since I skipped you last time?
Yeah, I do. I also watched all of Broad City. I don't think
Yeah, I do like that. Tim loves that show.
It is an excellent show.
I literally watched one episode over Tim's shoulder on an airplane and I could barely make out what they were saying and I was laughing. I'm like, this is really fucking funny.
It's really, really well done, and like the humor is phenomenal. I didn't super like how it ends, but like that doesn't matter. Like it is what 5 seasons of it, but it goes really fast. I think we did it in like a week, but we were just binging that. It's on Hulu. Yeah, Hulu. It's hilarious. That's another show where I watched the first episode, and I was like, I don't know if this is for me. This little gimmicks that they're doing are weird. And then I watched the second episode and I was like, no, this is for me. And then I was all in and just sat down and we didn't stop watching until we were done.
There it goes. I'll just quickly mention that I started watching last night because the trailer, the little autoplay thing on Netflix made me laugh out loud. I'm like, you get my watch. And I'm 2 episodes in now to a show called Champions, which is on Netflix. It's the Mindy Kaling show. Mindy Kaling produced, I believe, not starring her. She's a guest star, but it's about 2 brothers who run a gym. It's a silly comedy, sort of lighthearted comedy thing. They run a gym in Brooklyn and one's just a total fuck up and then realizes that he had a kid. He gets reintroduced to his kid who's 14 years old that he had when he was 18 and just has never been in this kid's life. It's silly. It's fun. If you guys need a lighthearted escape from something, I recommend it. It's only 1 season, so I have to imagine it didn't get picked back up because it's from 2018. But I was like, oh, this is fine. And Mindy Kaling is just hilarious to watch. And I love her writing style, which is just, it's like, it's seemingly lighthearted, but has a bite to it, which I always think is pretty, pretty funny.
I just pulled up the, I Googled it, right? And I pulled up the image, and it's like, this looks like one of the most generic TV shows ever.
It is. So, okay, just real quick. The guy on the right is, I forget his name, but he's been in a bunch of stuff. Andre something or other.
The guy on the left plays the fuck up Ryan Reynolds.
No, but the guy on the right plays the fucked up brother, the older brother who owns the gym and is like just always shirks his responsibilities. The guy on the left is like this unbelievably lovely, positive. It's his brother and it's his uncle. The kid is obviously the guy, the checkered guy's kid, estranged child, who loves the uncle and hates his dad, and then keeps constantly wishing the uncle was his dad, and then starts acting like it is. It's silly, and it's very endearing. And I think Fortune Femster is in it as well, who's a comic, if you're familiar with her work. She's awesome.
But the end of season one, isn't that like he finds out that the other one's actually his dad?
No, they know for sure it's not. It's introduced to you that they were like, Mindy Kaling and him like were high school sweethearts and like banged once under a pier, and then the kid, and then he had a kid. She had a kid. It's like the first 20, like 10 minutes into the first episode. Anyway, it's silly. It's fun. I'll probably watch the rest of it and gush over it. And I'm sure I'm about 4 years late to that party. All right, let's segue over to a movie that fucking blew me away.
One of the guys, his brother, was a speechwriter for Obama and does this podcast called Pod Save America.
That's
really good.
Let's segue over to Good Time. What do you guys think of this movie?
Man, the Safdie brothers do some fucked up shit.
Fuck. First off, I know that you had said before when we talked about Uncut Gems, Joey, I believe you were like, hey, you guys, someone brought up this movie and said, if you guys like that, you really should watch Good Time. And I remember being like, I know I'm good. I looked over, and you know, I've been staunchly against Robert R. Patz for a while until I saw him in The Lost City of Z, and I was like, all right, maybe he's got acting chops. Holy shit, he blew me away in this movie. And chat, a lot of you guys in the comments and in chat were telling me, hey, you really should, especially when the Batman news broke that he was going to be in Matt Reeves' Batman, you were like, you should really watch Good Time because he's great in that. And I was like, he was in the Sparkly Vampire movie, okay? And I don't let things go that easily. I'm an old person, and I don't like change.
And they wisely said, so was Anna Kendrick. And we were like, oh, maybe we should give him a shot. Yeah,
that's always the touche. That's always the touche. But I will say this from the get-go. This movie it just blew me away. It's very much, if you've seen Uncut Gems and you haven't seen this, it's the exact same style where the whole thing seems like a nightmarish dream that just never stops. Their use of time where you get lost for a second and then come back into it is just unbelievably well-crafted. The movie shot wonderfully. It feels oddly real and surreal at the same time, and I gotta give it to I think it's Benny Safdie it plays the brother in this. One of the Safdie brothers is one of the leads.
Yeah, he's, I think it's Benny,
really good. And he's Robert Pattinson, the whole cast is phenomenal.
Yeah, it's another, I didn't feel as stressed out watching this as I did Uncut Gems, and I think it also has to do with the fact that none of us saw this in theaters, and I think that really builds a lot of the tension for Uncut Gems. But this one is there's something about the style or like the pacing of it that like you just feel like maximum anxiety about all of these things that are happening and the way that the characters are handling them, that I think is, I haven't felt about a movie or like a director series. I don't know. Like they seem to have a talent to do that. Like a lot of other people can't.
And it's something that's so unique, because it's very much like how Denis Villeneuve builds tension, right? That is such a unique thing to him, where I'm like, I don't think any other filmmaker could have made I forget what the movie was where he talks about the Day of the Soledad. The Emily Blunt movie with Josh Brolin where it was about like Mexican drug lords and stuff like that.
What's
Sicario.
There we go.
So like when you watch Sicario, that movie is that slow, tense build. The Safdie brothers do something very similar to that, but instead of it being slow intense, it is 150 fucking miles per hour from the get-go. And then you get one moment of release where you kind of catch up to it and you're like, what is happening? And you see it in the character's eyes. We're like, you're just digging yourself more and more. And then we're off. We're off into the freaking adventure land and we're taking it's acid and all sorts of shit's happening. And it's just such, like, you just don't see filmmaking like this anymore, because it very much is just about that experience of being with this character for that one night and watching him do what he thinks is right, but do it so wrong, like do the wrong things for what he believes is the right reason,
right?
Which is like, it's so hard to strike that balance of having a character that's that despicable, but you also want to be with and see succeed. You want to see him come out and be like, find a way out of this, but you know it ain't gonna happen. And like, shout out to Robert Pattinson, man. I was totally wrong. He fucking blew me away he nailed the accent, nailed the vibe. The dude's one of the best actors, in my opinion, right now working from this movie.
Yeah. He's really good.
Yeah. I didn't realize they also had done Uncut Gems.
But yeah, like, watch it again. You'll see the exact same style. It's very claustrophobic.
When you said that, I was like, oh, yeah, it does feel like that. And then I was like, wait, but who did Uncut Gems? And then I was like, oh, there we go. That makes me want to watch their other movies because it looks like they have several other.
I think they have that many.
So evidently, I mean, I was reading some trivia on IMDb about this. Robert Pattinson saw a poster they did for one of their movies and was so intrigued by it. He reached out to them and said, hey, I'd love to work with you guys. And so they basically just like wrote this script and wrote the, I shouldn't say script because a lot of it was like on location improvised. And they did a lot of shooting apparently just on streets without, I don't know if they had permits or not, but they basically just like, we're not going to tell you what we're shooting. You're just going to go in there and we're going to shoot the scene. And like, so like when he's running through the mall, like does all sorts of crazy shit. Evidently that was just, they were like, hey, you're on this. We're just going to go out on the street and do this shit.
Feels very like really gorilla.
Mm-hmm. It's very gorilla. It's very indie, but it's also, man, their use of lighting where there's just these harsh neon lights is so beautifully and like so god awfully beautiful that I kind of want to watch this movie again and just study it because it blew me away.
Yeah,
I was
not fun to watch, you know.
No, I'll never watch it again. Similar to how I'll never watch Uncut Gems again. I want to, but I'm not a real film critic, so I'm not going to do that.
So that's what I was going to say. I was like, I really want to watch these other movies just because I've liked these two movies so much. But I don't know that I want to put myself through such a negative, like, who knows if the other ones are as dark, but like, I don't know if I want to do that to myself, you know?
Yeah, they're going to be. I doubt that you're going to turn a corner with the Safdie brothers where their first film was a lighthearted rom-com.
Yeah, Daddy Long Legs, one of their first movies, the second movie they did, is a comedy.
Huh. So. Okay. Well, maybe we should do a Safdie Brothers in review.
I have a feeling that what they think of as a comedy, maybe it's not.
I mean, just looking at the image from the like the Just Watch page that has it like clipped out, it makes me look like maybe the tone is not as comedic as you look. It's clearly about a family. And something sad's gonna happen.
Clearly something traumatic happened with both the Safdie Brothers and Ari Aster, and maybe they just need a hug. Maybe that's just what they need.
Important to note, there is no S for people in the chat. It's Good Time, not Good Times. Good Times was a sitcom in the 70s that did not star Robert Pattinson. In fact, to the best of my knowledge, he was not alive back then, and it's a very different show. Good Time. And I actually even looked up. I was like, what does that even mean? And apparently it's a prison term where you get out, you get let out early for like for good behavior. They call it good time. I got good time left. And then when you get out, you go out and you have a crazy good time, like party, like one of the characters in it. Anyway, fascinating. I highly recommend this. I'm going to put this out at good, the solid good.
Dude,
I agree.
The Safdie brother was in this. He was so good.
He was great.
Where it's like, I'm shocked. Yeah. I'm shocked right now that like that wasn't someone with some sort of like disorder.
Or just like someone that came straight out of Juilliard who has been studying acting since birth. I mean, he fucking nailed it. The whole movie is... Go watch it, guys. I don't want to spoil any more for you. But,
yeah, it's a good for me, too.
I agree. I will say that, like, I think after seeing stuff like Peanut Butter Falcon and stuff, that, like, they could have also used this to cast somebody that, stuff like that...
Actually had a disability?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's true. That's fair. I think the movie was less about that and more about...
Totally.
I think more about the character's like despicable means and his justifying the things that he has to do for, because I mean the way the movie starts, you're like, oh, like, and this is, well, it's kind of a spoiler, but I'll say it anyway. I mean, the movie starting with the brother who has a mental disability in therapy, and then having him being ripped out of it by the Robert Pattinson character is all you need to know about this. Yeah. And I think that's just, that's very thematically like relevant to where that character is this entire movie, where he's doing all these things for his brother, but is he really?
Yeah.
Cause he could have just left his brother where he found him in that moment.
Is what he thinks is better for his brother actually better for his brother?
Exactly. Right. Or is he just doing it selfishly because of his own problems and his own anyway.
But
I think he did such a good job of like in the moment being able to con people where you're like, oh, he's kind of charming and he has that good way of getting into people's lives and you're like, maybe he's a good he's a bad guy.
I was just gonna say also that I felt like there were certain things they said that kind of implied the brother's thing was more trauma than maybe born that way.
I don't remember, but it's possible. But anyway, either way, definitely go check that out, ladies and gentlemen. And if you liked it very much, please write into the show. Go to patreon.com/kindoffunny. And if you back us at the $5 or more tier, you can write into the show and let us know what you thought of Good Time or recommend some other fun things that we can watch throughout the show, or excuse me, throughout the weeks, so that we can talk about them on the show. Let's see. I would like to recommend Love and Monsters, starring Dylan O'Brien. A funny apocalypse adventure tale with a whole lot of charm and a cute dog, and in Michael Rooker. And how could you go wrong with Michael Rooker, says Josh Taylor, one of the people that wrote in for the show. He recommends that. And then let's see. Grayling Thibodeau. It's a cool name. Has written in and says, Nick, I hope you got to finish. You got to the finish line of Community. Its self-awareness is what makes it so great. And the cast chemistry is chef's kiss. Also, did you know that Abed actually did make an appearance in Cougar Town, and then he gave us the link for that, which I watched before the show, and I'm blown away they let him do that scene, because that has to be so confusing for the Cougar Town audience to just have a random person in the background freak out and then run out. But shout out to the producers for that, for being a part of the joke. I did in fact finish Community, and it was great. Kevin, if you haven't finished it yet, I think you should get to the end of it, because it is a show that is this, it takes the self-awareness to a whole nother level in the final episode. And it's very, very, very heartfelt, very well done. And it had a good impact on me. I was like, this show's now in the pantheon of great, like, comedic shows in my life. For sure.
I can't believe they have Abed in Cougar Town. Ridiculous. I'm watching it right now.
Like, it starts off where he's just in the background, and then just wait till the end. Cause he freaks out and runs out. And it's like, what is that? That's so weird.
That's funny.
Ladies and gentlemen, of course, if you want to see the rest of the movies that we have reviewed on the Nicklist, you can go to kindoffunny.com/thenicklist and see the full list of movies and where we ranked them out of the patented three-finger scale, which is, of course, good, 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 bad, and then bad, bad. It's a scientific scale that's backed by 1 out of 10 scientists thinks that we're crazy. So the three-finger scale is where you want to be. Of course, if you're watching this and you're like, I already back you on Patreon, I already subscribed to your channel, what more could I possibly do for you? Leave a comment in the comments below this video, and we'll run in there and we'll goof around a little bit. We'll be back next week, and I think we have a special episode next week. Let me look.
We do.
Because I believe we are starting. We are. We are going to be doing this show exactly like we do it, but instead of the What We Watch segment for next week, we are going to start The Mandalorian in review. Mandalorian season 2 drops, so we're going to be doing episode 1 next Friday, roughly around 11 a.m. here live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. And of course, if you can't watch live, it'll be posted to YouTube a little bit later that day. I'm excited to see what they do with the second season of this. I had some criticisms of the first season, and I was like, they need to get into a little bit more of a deeper story to keep my attention. We'll see if Jon Favreau got all my fan mail letters. Until next week.
Wait,
Kevin,
real quick.
Thank you.
I want to pull up the poster. Look at how cool this movie looks. Love and Monsters.
Well, shit. What
that's
is
a
it
cool
on
I like poster. That the description said something about the monster apocalypse. So I was like,
yeah,
what's
there's
that?
A lot of monsters.
That sounds fun.
Look at this thing and what's going on there.
I mean, should we try to watch this for next week?
I might try to watch it. No one's making you, though. You know what I mean?
Joey, what do you think? I'm in.
If you put. Well, I'm not going to be on because Mandalorian's not my jam.
Not your jam?
I don't think.
All right. Well, maybe we'll just watch
no,
this.
No, I never finished season 1.
Yeah, it's because it sucks.
Well, here's what happens. There's a lightsaber. All right, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back next week.
It's Joey. He's not joking. About, that's one of the things.
Talk more about The Mandalorian. Until then, we'll see you online.
Bye.